Hello?
Hello, Kerry.
Yeah. What's happening, man?
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
How you doing? Where are you, in Las Vegas or?
I'm in Las Vegas. Yeah, I'm at my home.
Well, let's start off a little bit about your background and how you started cooking.
Okay, are you taping this now?
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Okay, well, gosh, it's a long story. I mean, how deep do you want to get into this?
Well, something general,
Okay, I started in Chicago making pizzas at Little Caesars, and I met somebody there who ended up opening an Italian restaurant, and I worked there for a couple of bunch of years as a kind of as a manager cook kind of thing, And I actually thought I was going to be a guitar player, so I was like in a band and kind of doing that thing and going to art school a little bit and sort of like trying to figure out what I was going to do, and then this guy that I worked for told me about the Culinary Institute, which is in Hyde Park, New York, and so I seemed to really get into cooking. I was like practicing out of cookbooks till like 4 o'clock in the morning at the restaurant. And Julia Childs actually was one of my was what I really liked cooking out of. And then I applied to the Culinary Institute. Somehow it all worked out. I got a school loan and a grant, and kind of went east. And on my way out east, I happened to contact an old friend of mine, and he was working at Littes, and they happened to need somebody to fill in for a couple of weeks, I think it was. And I had some time before I started cooking school, so I went and I worked at Littes for a couple of weeks. And it sort of like changed kind of the whole kind of future of where my direction, because I ended up they ended up introducing me to a guy that I did an apprenticeship at, and sort of got me involved in a lot of the four-star restaurants in New York City. And I went to the Culinary Institute. I met this guy that I did my apprenticeship with, and then I ended up back in New York. I worked at Le Cote Basque and Littes and a few other side jobs. I'd pick up anything I could, actually. And then I ended up working privately in London, coming back, and I met was when I met Jean-Georges, and we were just getting ready to open up Lafayette. So I worked there with Jean-Georges. And then I went on from there. I was a chef at the Plaza for while the Trumps owned it. And from then, I went to South Beach, Miami. I was there for a bunch of years and then ended up back with Jean-Georges, opening up restaurants all over the world for him and kind of helping him build up that company that he has now.
Right.
And from there, I went out to Vegas because we opened a restaurant in Vegas, and I met Peter Morton and Elizabeth Blau, who's my other partner, and that's where I did my first restaurant on my own, and that's where I stand as of today.
And you're
But there's a lot of input in between all that,
and with your current project, you're opening like three other places now, I understand.
Well, we're getting ready to open up L.A., which is going to be in the Sofitel. And Randy Gerber is going to do the bar, and that opens in the beginning of June. And then we have Maui, which is going to be late fall in Wailea. And we have a couple other things that are out there that haven't been signed for future dates as well. And there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. It's just kind of our business.
So you're really stirring the pot then.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy what I do, and I have a lot of people that work with me, and so I like to be able to give them the opportunity to move forward in different things, and so it's exciting for me to have projects with staff that's worked so hard with me, so.
Do you think that Las Vegas is like kind of the culinary capital, or is there really a culinary capital in the United States?
I think that New York really, but I think that for as far as there are a lot of chefs here now, I mean, I would definitely say that of the second city would be like New York. It is definitely, or I mean, Las Vegas, excuse me. But Las Vegas has definitely got all the chefs here, and there's really a lot of great restaurants here now. Definitely. So it is definitely an important place.
It just seems like such an extraordinary place because it's really out in the middle of like a desert. It's like lit 24 hours a day, so it doesn't seem like an organic, cooking mecca if you'd want to think of it that way.
Yeah, but it's an entertainment center. I mean, there's places like that that happen in certain periods of you know, like South Beach, for example. Look at that. I mean, that's another nightlife mecca, you know.
Right.
Who would think on the beach all night when you're, like, thinking that people are going to be up in the morning running on the beach and working out, but, you know, they're in hanging out and partying in clubs. So it's kind of like, you know, you feel that desire for a human's needs, so.
Then you would say cooking and maybe is an entertainment.
Yeah, totally. I mean, nowadays people, you know, the traveled people really want a good meal. They want to eat what they're comfortable with. So, I mean, it's very important to them to be able to, you know, get whatever they're in the mood for, especially say you've come from Hong Kong or something, you know, and you've landed in Vegas and you just want a grilled steak or you want a hamburger or you want a stir fry, you know. It's all achievable here now, you know.
So that you would say maybe your style of cuisine lends to those different styles then for people who come from Hong Kong because you've been to Asia and you've been.
Yeah, I would say that I built our restaurant upon all the things that I thought, like when I landed in a city and I was hungry, what the different things that I would want. And it would be everything from, say, tuna tartare to even spaghetti and meatballs, you know.
Right.
So.
So it's user-friendly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Who gave you the moniker of the rock and roll chef? And does it, you know, still hold true today?
Well, it started with Rolling Stone magazine because I had a table in the kitchen at the plaza. And I had a lot of the music world coming on in to eat in the kitchen, you know. And like In Excess was a regular, and David Lee Roth, those kind of people, Sammy Hagar and everybody, you know, so they were always in there eating. And, they named me as one of the most, I forget what it is, they have an issue every year, like where they name the top list people of the year.
Right.
And I was on it, and they kind of dubbed me the rock and roll chef because of that, you know, because I was at the plaza. I mean, and then I had this whole downtown world coming uptown. So it was sort of something that nobody ever bridged before. And plus the table in the kitchen, I had reinvented it, which sort of like, you know, all of a sudden became the thing that everybody did. So like that, it just became dubbed that. And then I did some other stuff that were a lot of people like Alice Cooper or whatever were involved with. And it just kind of continued. And I had a lot, since I was like going to be a musician, I guess I have a lot of music friends, so I don't know. And then I did Iron Chef, and they actually called me that on the Iron Chef, and I came in on the back of a motorcycle, you know, and all that, the long hair. And so it all sort of like kind of like hooks up with the same sort of idea, you know, it's like, and it just was attached. Now I sort of like, that's not really what my thing is about, you know. My restaurant is the deal, and you know, I'm a chef. I'm a restaurateur. I just, you know, put together projects and try and make sure that people have a good meal, and you know, so it's very different.
Yeah. I'd seen your show on Iron Chef that you'd been on, and I think it was when they first put it on. I think maybe Fox had it on first.
Right. UPN.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, like I just did Iron Chef again and for the Food Network.
Uh-huh.
And I've done it a bunch of times for them as a judge as well.
Right.
And they don't really, like, that's not their thing. They don't really call me the Iron Chef. Or, I mean, the Rock and Roll Chef, excuse me.
Right.
They, you know, I'm
Gary
part
Simon.
Of the chef world. So.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Is food TV, is it reality TV, or is it really about cooking? Is it more the entertainment side?
Well, I think there's two sides to food TV. I mean, first, the Iron Chef is a tough show. I mean, that's a really, like, it's a hard show to do. You really have to be 100%. You really got to be quick. You really got to be on your game, you know.
Right.
I think that there's a couple of different markets, you know. There's the chef's market who's looking for new ideas, like me, who's always out there scouring around, like, trying to find the something new, somebody's got like a, you know, that's invented something that I can translate into something else. And then there's, you know, the people that cook at home that don't need the list of 60 things, you know. And anyway, I mean, I think in my view of cooking now, I mean, cooking is about just simplicity. I mean, what you can do with a few products, that's really a sign of a great chef to me. I mean, it's not like, you know, you have some lists, these huge lists of things, you know, it's like, oh my God, who's ever going to get through this? You need like two cooks to do this with you. But I think that when you take a product and you can cook it properly and season it properly and like really present it with like a good feeling about it, that's the best type of food for me. So a lot of these chefs that are out there on TV are doing just that. It's a question of interpreting it at home.
Right. And do you think chefs actually cook at home?
Like I cook maybe egg white omelet in the morning or egg white scramble, you know. I mean, that's about all I have time for.
Sure.
I mean, at nighttime I'm usually not able to be here, so.
Yeah.
No, I would imagine. I mean, I think that our business has definitely gone full circle. I mean, I think that there's a lot of people out there that have been able to balance their lives, and I think there's a lot of chefs who do cook at home. They have been able to somehow figure out how to have the business and to have a family, and more it's, you know, becoming a little bit of both, you know, whereas in the old days you really were married to being one or the other.
Yeah.
I mean, you try and have a family life, but it's very hard, so.
Yeah. Of all the really big chefs that you worked for in your career, who do you think most influenced you and, you know, and you're still cooking kind of in their vein, or are you really cooking your own food now in your style?
Well, that's a hard question. I mean, it's very like, geez. I mean, first, because everybody that I've worked with was somehow they influenced me or inspired me, or they all took some time to, you know, give me a moment of their lives to kind of like direct me. And I was able to observe, and sort of like a lot of it is really becoming shadowing what other people do, so that when you are in the position, that you can recreate whatever it is that they do for your own, how you visualize it, but you've seen how they do it. And that goes from, you know, from where I did Jean Morel and my apprenticeship to Soltner to Rachou. And then you got Jean-Georges. Jean-Georges and I had a different relationship because we had more of a creative kind of like relationship where, you know, it was a very almost kind of like if you were like two competitive people coming up with ideas, but we'd work on ideas together and there was another chef with us. So it was a very kind of like think tank process, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of like during that period with Lafayette and all that, I mean, it was amazing what we did, you know, the products we used and the things that we started bringing in. People just never saw those things before, you know.
Yeah.
And so I would say that then what happened was is that I sort of, you know, sort of like tried to get my own kind of like what is American food, you know, and what are people eating. And that's everything. I mean, do I think that I, you know, I have meatloaf? Did I invent meatloaf? No, but I have my own version of it, you know.
Huh.
And so I think a lot of cooking is since the days of Escoffier. I mean, it's basically you take it and reinvent it, you know, and recreate it into the times of now, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it's at, and I think that's the way it is with everything.
Sure. It's you're not reinventing the wheel, you're just kind of changing the spokes.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that traces into music, too, and everything, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
How do you enter a restaurant, subjectively as a chef, or do you just go in and just enjoy the food? Because I find myself sometimes going, oh, man, this is really awful, or in my mind I'll say that because I'm not going to say it out front, but there'll be times where I'll just go, oh, man, that is just not the way I would do it.
Well, you know, it's kind of it's an interesting thing, you know. I mean, I think about like how like I can enjoy like a good pizza or In-N-Out burger or, you know, a taco, and like I'm not going to judge those things, you know. I'm just going to have it, you know.
Sure.
And it depends on what the situation is. I mean, if you're going to some 3-star Michelin restaurant, you're going there in hopes to have a good meal and a good experience, you know. And then if all the hype hasn't led it into its proper sort of realm, then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, the press plays a great like role in what happens, you know. And so, you know, you have to give the press credibility for what they are. I mean, do they know what they're writing about? I mean, that supposedly, because once it's printed, we assume that they know what they're talking about and that they have, you know, the pedigree to be able to tell us what is good and what is not good. So when you go to these 3-star restaurants or whatever, I'm not saying that this is an experience I've had, you're already anticipating that, you know, that you're going to have a great meal. And then all of a sudden, maybe you'll have something that'll be, well, that was okay, you know. But really, it's just another restaurant with another guy just doing different things, you know. And he's just trying to make a living, you know, and has a talent. And he's been built up by, you know, situations. And so it's probably been a great meal, but because, you know, you've been in that situation where you think it's got to be better than life, you know, that you're let down.
Yeah.
But you can't have a great meal everywhere you go. And sometimes I've seen, like, I've had the same dish and been in a bad mood. One time really great, next time just okay. But it might have been the same thing, but who knows where I was mentally. And I've seen that happen just with critics in our own world, you know.
Yeah. And what do you think about the big thing about chefs having a lot of restaurants and then people saying, oh, well, why isn't he cooking here tonight? I mean, is that fair to the chefs who are opening several restaurants?
I think that there is definitely there are some issues with it. I think that if the chef is comfortable with like me, I don't really care. Like, I don't have any desire to, like, go to a restaurant because the chef's there or whatever, you know. I mean, that doesn't really, like, do anything for me. If he's there and I have a bad meal, what is the difference, you know? I mean, the thing is that the way I see it is if a guy, like, say, we'll take Jean-Georges, for example, I mean, has a lot of talented people working with him, and he gets opportunities that these people wouldn't normally get. And so they get to go and work in, I don't know, Hong Kong or London, and they work for him, and they do his food, and they're comfortable with that, and they like doing that. And if they can maintain the quality, then that's great, you know. I mean, I used to go to a Vong in London all the time, and I have great meals there, you know. I mean, so I think that it's a question of if it's kind of that show business thing, like, oh, I want to see the chef, or, like, there's a lot of restaurants you wouldn't even know if the chef was there or not because they don't have an open kitchen. So
maybe food is a bit over-intellectualized then.
I think to a degree. I think it's also, you know, a lot of people are just kind of like, I don't know. I mean, you can only speak for each person's experience, right? I mean,
sure.
I think that each chef has his own thing that as he grows or whatever, you know, like now I'm trying to grow, you know, and I have a team of people and I have, you know, I've taken my time and, like, tried to put the right people in their positions. And, you know, so slowly we make our moves. I mean, it's been almost 4 years now, you know, and we've done some experimentation with each other and with other projects. And so, you know, I sort of have a feel for the direction we're going in. And we're out there looking for new ideas and trying to reinvent ourselves. And that's kind of what you do, you know.
Are your different restaurants going to be, like, different in tone or nature, or is it pretty much a standard that you're going to have in most of your
I mean, I think that the standard mold is already there.
Yeah.
But I think each city has different sort of habits. And I think as anything I've ever done, when I do research for a market, you know, I try and figure out what that market's about. And, like, L.A. is definitely, you know, has some, you know, interest in what I do already. I mean, I already have that market here. But then there's some other things that I'm going to add to it that I think is also kind of what L.A. is about, you know.
Okay. So,
and I'll do that everywhere. When I go to Hawaii, too, I mean, they have, like, the most amazing products in Hawaii. I mean, I'm like, can't wait, you know. It's like, it's all right there.
I mean, yeah, I know I was going to send you my resume, but probably got a full crew already.
Well, you go ahead, send it to me. You never know. That's cool.
Yeah. If you were to go out tonight, let's say in the United States, where would you want to go eat tonight?
Gosh. That's a really tough question.
The two follow-up are just as bad. So
what's that?
The two follow-up questions are just as bad.
Oh, my God. I mean, first, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I have, you know, so many friends in the business that I like Nobu a lot. You know, I like sushi, and I like what he does. So, yeah, I mean, that would be one of them.
All right. And what about in Europe?
In Europe, you know, I always have, and I'm not saying this is the only restaurant that I that I'm, you know, the that I think is the best. But I always, when I land in London, I always love going to the River Cafe.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I've always found that to be an inspirational place because of how they cook, how straightforward they are.
Yeah, and I find London, you know, people always said, oh, English food's terrible, but they have a really great culinary world over there, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Really
yeah,
opened up a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're very, they got a lot of things going.
Yeah. What about in Asia? You've been there quite a few times.
You know, when I go to Asia, I'm trying to think of, I have the restaurant that I go to. Usually it's just down and dirty kind of Chinese kind of thing when I land in Hong Kong. I'm trying to think of,
caught you off guard.
Yeah, you caught me off guard.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of the restaurant right now.
All right. Yeah. Cooking is kind of like considered the last feudal kind of like workplace. Do you think it's getting better? It's changing for the better for cooks, or is it pretty much going to stay the same for us guys behind the stove?
No, I think what's happening now is well, I know one thing. There's been a transition in my world, and I run a kitchen in a very zen kind of manner. I mean, it's about having fun. It's about, you know, enjoying yourselves, kind of like creating sort of this bond that, you know, we sort of all get along and, you know, it's sort of like I like to have a family feeling when we're doing stuff, you know. It's kind of like my brother works for me, this kind of like. So, you know, I think that little by little it's becoming more and more humane, you know. I mean, it's definitely still tough places, you know. There's a whole lot of, like, testosterone in the kitchen, you know. We need more women still in the kitchen, and we're getting them. But, you know, it's hard work, and so it can be kind of tough at times. But I think there's a lot of laws now that are watching out for employees, and, you know, I mean, you have to treat them fairly. You can't yell at them. You can't belittle them. You know what I mean? It has
sure.
to be totally about respect. And I think that if you respect them, you get more out of them, you know. And you have to show them through training them and just kind of reteaching them and explaining to them. And it's very much kind of like that type of education.
And are you drawing a lot of your workers from schools, or is it primarily people with more experience that have already been out in the field?
Oh, let's see. Well, now we got a lot from school. But when we first opened, we just put bodies in there and trained them, you know. But
yeah.
Now we've got a lot of culinary students, so, you know, which they're more enthusiastic and they're really in it for the future, and so they really want to do a good job.
So. And where do you think American food is going in the next few years? Is it
hard to predict? I mean, I try to predict with going out there and looking for new ideas, but I think that our products and, you know, organic, I think, is the future. And I think that people are recognizing more and more that if we buy organic products, we're giving money back to our own country, which is good because, you know, people that live in this country then can keep jobs. And we eat well and we eat healthy. So I think that that is kind of the trend of that. And I think that health is definitely... I see, you know, in my own world, I know that for sure. I'm very healthy in what I do, but I also see that people around me are, you know, demanding that also. So I think that more and more we're all looking for kind of like to make sure that we give ourselves good fuel, you know. And then I always think you're going to have the fill-in of the rest of the stuff, the inspirations from different countries, you know. And that'll never stop now. I mean, and maybe Indian is going to play a greater role because it's not really ever been that explosive yet, and I see it's kind of creeping up in the background a little bit more and more. And, you know, I would say that the Asian trend is always going to be strong. I think that that's a very easy food to eat that's healthy and light, you know, which is good for you. You know?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried your salmon that you did with Mark Bittman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, with the tandoori.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't have any tandoori paste, so I had to whip it up and myself, and it came out really good. I loved it. So.
Oh, good, good. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, you have to make sure you have a really hot pan for that. And
oh, yeah.
The caramelization, but
yeah.
You don't want to get it too dark, so.
No, but it was tasty. I like that.
Good.
Yeah. Was your mom a big influence on your cooking?
I would say that, you know, I think about, like, what, you know, over the years that I ate and things that I liked. And, yeah, I guess she was, you know. I mean, we lived in Seattle and at a point in my life in Bainbridge Island and ate a lot of seafood and was influenced into fishing. And my mom would cook fish for us. And, you know, we had apples and, you know, it was all right there in the backyard. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So, and smoked salmon, you know, we used to go to all the reservations and they buy the smoked salmon and see how they did it. And so I think she was a big influence. Meatloaf, I mean, Meatloaf was inspired by her dish. And, you know, those kind of, yeah, the answer to that question is yeah.
And are you considering yourself more a Western chef now than that you're out in the Pacific side of the country, or?
I would say that I like being on the West Coast. I'm a snowboarder. I'm outdoors type of person, and I like rock climbing. And so the West Coast suits me right now in my lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm one of those kind of people that will always be changing, and I could end up on the East Coast in 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
So I really don't predict, like, those things about myself at all.
All right.
Yeah.
My brother lives in Colorado. He's a fly fisherman and a chef, so I understand his point. I've been out to the mountains with him, and it's pretty damn nice out there.
It really is. It really is. But I get a lot of inspiration from cities like New York, and, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, the restaurants are really, like, everybody's got something new going, and there's a lot of art, and it's just, there's a lot of inspiration to that as well, you know. But you also need kind of, like, that sort of time to sort of, like, look at yourself and evolve, you know. And being in a city can make that very hard because there's a lot of, like, temptations to do other things than just sit and kind of, like, think, you know.
Yeah, it's just a bit overwhelming sometimes, all the people and the crush of everything here. Yeah.
Correct.
Do you still play the guitar?
I hadn't been playing for a while, but I just started up yesterday for some odd reason, and I'm kind of, like, motivated to start playing again. I don't know what caused that. You know?
Okay.
There's periods where I go through, I just don't have any time, you know. I mean, I don't, since emails have happened, you know, you can spend your whole life in front of a computer.
That's true.
It seems to be the case. And there's so much information. I mean, I'm always like, all of a sudden I'll be like searching out this. Next thing I know, 2 hours are gone. So.
Well, my first interview today was actually with a bread baker, and that's kind of my big passion. I bake bread constantly, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I went to school for it, and I really love it a lot more than cooking, I think, now.
That was
yeah.
John Lennon's big thing.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's like one day hopefully would be my dream to have a little place, bake bread. And you know,
yeah.
Make...
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Well, I can see that.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right, Gary. Well, I want to thank you for getting back in touch with me. And
anytime.
I'd spring a whole bunch of questions, but I'm like, I don't want to take your time either.
No, you're fine. Thanks for, I mean, if you ever have any more questions, feel free to call me, you know.
All right, great. And we'll...
And, yeah, keep in touch.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye, man.
Take care, bye.